Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to this podcast ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, it's Nikki. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Call Me Curious. So I don't know about you, but I love Thanksgiving leftovers. Why are they so good? I love them so much that I don't even care how old they are. Ew. And I know what you're thinking. Nikki, if only there was a way to know how old is too old when it comes to food. Well, there is. And we have the answers for you. We cover expiration dates, best buy dates, and sell-by dates, and yep, even leftovers. So make yourself a big old plate of food and enjoy our encore presentation of Are Dates on Food Just BS? From Wondery, I'm Nikki Boyer, and this is Call Me Curious, where every week I'll get to the bottom of those funny, strange, puzzling, or just gotta know questions you have. And we'll tell you, the best we can, what the answer is.
'Cause I've got 21 questions, I've been 21 guessing, you could teach me a lesson. Call me curious, call me curious.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hi, welcome to Call Me Curious. I am so happy you're here today. I really am. So look, I don't know if you're like me, but my refrigerator can be a little bit of a time capsule. Not in a good way, if you know what I mean. Look, I got condiments from two presidents ago. And I do have a little bit of cheese that has 3 day stubble and a yogurt that I just bought, but it's already starting to bulge. And full disclosure, part of me wants to open it. Take a whiff to see how disgusting it is, and I know you do too, because that's gross, but it's also interesting, right? So on one hand, I can't eat this stuff because it's gross, but on the other hand, some of the old stuff in my fridge, it still seems usable. I'm looking at you, three-year-old maraschino cherries, and your neighbor, the horseradish. I see you. I mean, sure, I could throw these away, but do I have to? Isn't that wasteful? They might technically be expired, but they seem perfectly fine to me. Okay, so this got me thinking about the dates that we see on food. How accurate are they? How are they determined? Are those sell-by and best-by dates just a suggestion? And why can't I just trim the beard off the cheese, right? Isn't cheese mold? So look, are these expiration dates just BS? These answers and many more on the podcast that's always at its peak of freshness. Call Me Curious. All right, right now, I'd like to bring on someone who is totally and completely spoiled, my good friend, Mr. Malone. Hi!
Nikki, I'm laughing. You can call me like a day-old Malone. I'm a day-old Malone.
Oh, I love
it. You know, I grew up, Nikki, with grandparents that took me like to the day-old bakery. Like, remember those? They used to be very popular.
I love those. When I go to the grocery store, I find that section sometimes. And I'm like, huh, Wait, what we got.
Do they still have those sections where the expiration dates?
Yes. Isn't that funny?
It's called the clearance section.
Exactly. When I was little, I thought it was Clarence, the Clarence section.
Oh,
I
my
would
God,
say.
That is so cute. Wait, and you brought up maraschino cherries. I thought they were like, aren't they plastic? I mean, like, they can last forever.
Right? That's why I don't want to throw them away because I'm like, I'm just going to buy another jar of these that look and taste exactly the same as the expired ones, right?
Like, yeah. It's just too much. But Nikki, I do have questions about this because I'm about certain foods too,
me
like chicken. Like
too.
If I order, like takeout chicken, like I want to know how long, you know, some people say 2 days, 3 days, a week, like, but I don't know. My dog can eat it after a month. I mean, why can't I?
Well, there are lots of questions there. So listen, I kind of want to know where you are in this. Like, what does your fridge currently look like? And is there anything expired inside?
Okay, Nikki, you're talking to a single gay man. I don't have much in
my
refrigerator.
I've seen your fridge. It's like six things. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's six things. But, you know, this is interesting. We're going to be talking about this because I had my cleaning lady who comes like once a month over yesterday. And she goes, oh, cookies. And I forgot I had cookies in there. And they were like 3 weeks old and she ate them. I was like, oh, my gosh, those are like past due. So, like, I did have cookies. She did throw them out. They're gone.
Wait, did she eat them and then get rid of the rest?
She ate one and then she threw it out.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
All right.
I don't know if she got sick from it, but to your question, I think I may have like mustard that's maybe 3 months old.
That's a great, okay. So this all falls in line with all the things that I think we're going to get to ask today.
Oh, good. Okay.
Now, I just want to clarify, I'm type A and super clean, but there are some things in my fridge that I'm like, I don't know how long that's been in there, but it's all in the back, right? Like the pickles. They're in the back. They're pickled. They can't go
bad,
right?
Why is it always the pickles, Nikki? It's always the pickles that everyone has in their refrigerator that just stays there for years.
I know. And how do you know when to roll the dice, right?
Yeah.
Like, who wants to throw away a head of broccoli? Unless there's mold on it or it looks like it's rotting, I'm like, I'm kind of like, well, I don't want to throw that away.
Well, take raspberries. I mean, I love raspberries, but they go bad pretty quickly and they're like brown and mushy and... And then I throw them out. I'm also a minimalist, Nikki. So, I go through my refrigerator. I'm like, out, nope, 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 you know.
I am going to go ahead and say, for me, dairy is, I don't take many risks with dairy.
Oh,
but
no.
I do have questions about cheese, because cheese is dairy. But isn't cheese mold? So, here's the rule for me. I look at it. If it looks gross, I throw it away. If it smells gross, I throw it away. If it doesn't look or smell gross, I'll put it in an omelet or a casserole. You want to come over to my house for dinner?
Oh, my God, Nikki, I do.
I'll make you some moldy soup.
Oh, my God, that'd be cute to have a restaurant with all, like, moldy, like, made from mold, moldy old food.
Yeah, that'd be really cute.
The Oldie Mold Food Cafe.
Oh, my gosh. So I think what we should do now, Malone, is take it to the streets like we always do. So we sent out our very own Dex Jordan to see what people think about expiration dates.
Do you mind answering some questions for a podcast today? It's a real podcast and not just some bullshit I do out of my garage. Food expiration dates. Do you pay attention to the... Hold on. Go away, bird. I know. It's their park. They live here. Food expiration dates. Do you pay attention to them?
Ish. I pay attention to best if used by versus expires by.
Oh, that's kind of a big difference, right? How about you, ma'am? Do you pay attention to those?
I ignore them until it really smells, yes.
You're a sniffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking for chunks in the milk.
Possibly, yeah.
When you guys go shopping, do you reach way and back to get the fresher stock?
I do, but I don't want to be stereotyped, but yes.
It's not a stereotype. I do it. I think everybody who's cool does it. Have you ever moved, like, between houses and brought, like, old rice-a-roni that's been with you for, like, three apartments?
The last time, I think everything was new.
I have a bottle of Tapatio that's been through, like, 9 households and 2 marriages.
Oh, my goodness. You move quite frequently.
You know what? I get kicked out of a lot of places. Probably because my milk is stinking up the fridge.
Probably.
Do you guys care about expiration dates on food?
Definitely not. I mean, I don't know, actually. I feel like sometimes you are like, it's fine if it's past the expiration date, as long as it doesn't smell bad.
Exactly.
So you're a sniffer. You trust your nose over food scientists.
Yeah.
You're the only guy here who has a better shirt than I do, so I thought, this guy has answers. Do you believe in, like, when it's the food expiration date is stamped on the thing? Do you pay attention to that?
My brother's the worst for that. If it's like, if it's past the sell by date, he won't touch it regardless of whatever. Like, he has innate fear of like sell by dates. I mean, you know, if it mutates or something like that, you don't really want to be putting that into.
I hadn't even thought about the chance of it mutating. Is that a thing?
Don't quote me on that, but possibly, yeah.
I wondered where this third nipple came from. Do you guys pay attention to the expiration dates on products? The last guy thought it would mutate.
Really? Like X-Men?
Exactly, like X-Men, the mutant. So what about you, sir? Best Buy dates?
Yeah, I think I'm terrified of eating something that's past the Best Buy date. It's more psychological, you know? And as long as there's ambiguity, it's like it's going to psychologically make the food taste bad, even if it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's the knowledge. Knowledge is what ruins you. What about your milk? Do you sniff it or look for chunks? What do you do there?
Oh, big time milk sniffer over here, yes. Also, yeah, I check the expiration date, and if it's even close, I'm skeptical.
Do you pay attention to the expiration dates on food?
Yeah, but I think it's flexible somewhat. I don't throw stuff away immediately on the date.
What's the oldest thing you've ever eaten?
I think probably eggs or butter.
I've waited weeks after the date on my eggs. Sometimes I don't care. I think eggs are in a shell. I think they're safe. Nikki, back to you in the studio with a handful of answers.
Well, Malone, I knew it. People eat old food and they live.
They do. They survive it, Nikki. They survive. And maybe that's good. Like, let's say we have to, I don't know, live in a bomb shelter or something someday.
Then we know that we can eat old, expired food and be okay.
Yes.
So I think we should get to the bottom of this and get somebody in here who really knows what they're talking about. So let's bring on our amazing guest who really can help us understand food dating. He is the Senior Vice President and the Dean of the Institute for Environmental Health Academy.
Oh.
Where he runs food safety training.
Oh, wow. So he could tell me if it's okay to leave the butter out or not?
Uh-huh. And get this, he was also the director for food safety at the FDA, and he ran the Institute for Food Safety and Health. So there's no one more qualified.
Wow.
Please welcome to the show, Bob Brackett. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Nikki and Malone. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it. And you two have started off by having so many anecdotes that can go so far. Most people aren't willing to admit what you just did.
Oh, no.
Bob.
Really?
No, Bob, we're open books.
Good.
Okay. As you know, we have so many questions, but let's start with the first one that I know we all want to know the answer to. Why are the food dates always so impossible to find on the jar or the bag when you actually have a question about them?
Yes.
Why?
Oh my God, Nikki, I didn't even think about that. It's so hard to see them. Is that like planned? Do they do that on purpose? Great question.
It is a great question.
Yeah, Bob. These are the burning questions.
You know, the whole issue about date labeling is probably the single most common question I get about foods, even more so than recalls or anything else like that. So to answer your question about why is it difficult to find, because the manufacturers have to use a certain format for labels. And there is only so much space that they can have. And of course, they want their brand name and the title to be the biggest. So when they have things like dates, they put that into very tiny print just so they can get it on the label.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm not losing it when I'm like, where is that? What are those numbers? Is that the year? The month? What is that? And then by that time, I've already put it into my recipe, so too late.
It's like they put it backwards, too. Sometimes it
I know.
Looks like the numbers are backwards. I don't get it, Bob.
Well, yeah.
Well, Bob, we're so happy to have you because honestly, I feel like this episode is really going to resonate with a lot of people because I can't tell you how many times this has come up just in the last few days in my life. So thank you. So are sell-by or use-by dates required to be on food and whose job is it to like determine what these are?
Well, right now, they're not required. There is actually a proposal that was submitted in Congress for a law to actually standardize these dates. And the reason people get so confused is because they are stated in so many different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's sell by, there's use by, there's, I have one at home, enjoy by.
Aw, that's sweet.
A little positive twist.
For food safety, used by expiration dates in some cases. And so it does become very confusing to consumers to try to figure out what does this mean. And then just to make matters a bit more confusing, many of the manufacturers will put their production dates on there. And a lot of times they're coded. Oh, so that's why you can't tell what it means.
Oh.
It means something to them, but not to you. So they put those on there in case there's a recall or in case they have to get them back quickly. It's like a serial number that they can go find them quickly.
Okay.
I wish there were ones that said, like, you will throw up by this day. You will get sick and be put into the ER on this day if you eat that. You know what I mean? Can't they just do that, Bob?
You know, it may not help. And I'll tell you a story. There was a college student, actually at Iowa State University a number of years ago, and he bought, this is keep refrigerated clam chowder.
I'm already, oh God, okay.
And so he put that on his shelf in his dorm room for a few days. And what happened is, of course, it spoiled. And not only did it spoil, but it ended up developing a very dangerous type of food poisoning called botulism. Oh. He ate it and, in fact, did come down with it. And what the investigator said is, I don't know how he could eat this. It smelled so bad. Oh, how God. Anybody could get that past their nose. So, but, you know, he's hungry, so he ate it anyway.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God.
Was he okay?
Yeah.
He didn't die. But that particular disease can kill you.
Yeah, botulism is serious. I mean, you grew up with like the mayonnaise stuff, right, Nikki? Like your mom would always say, like, don't let the mayonnaise sit out.
Yes,
botulism.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the myths you were told.
Wow.
Oh.
Which is usually you found that people would get sick like in the summer. If it's a potato salad or the chicken salad or something. Mm-hmm. And what people used to say, well, must have been the mayonnaise. Well, no, actually mayonnaise, the way that it's commercially prepared, is too acidic to support the growth of pathogenic bacteria. It's really the fact that you're taking products like potatoes or chicken and you're handling them, or many of the cooks, handling them with their bare hands, and they're even mixing it with their bare hands. And so what they're doing is inoculating the product.
Oh,
and then
gosh.
All these other ingredients like potatoes reduce the amount of acidity in there to the point where these organisms can grow. And they do. And a few hours later, people are sick.
That's so interesting. Wait, when you say inoculating, what does that mean?
That means these bacteria are on your hands, like staph. You've heard of staph poisoning.
Yeah, yeah.
Or staph wounds and things. So these bacteria are harbingers on our skin, everybody's. And so when you stick your hand down in that gloppy mess of a salad, you are just inoculating. You're taking those bacteria and spreading it
throughout. So how fast do they grow?
It's interesting. Most bacteria that make people sick will grow. Their population will double about every 20 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Some of them can go down as low as 6. If you have a brothy food or something like a stew, there's a certain type of bacterium, which is called Clostridium perfringens. It can grow like crazy. In fact, it'll grow so fast that it produces gas as it grows, that in cases where it's been in something like a stew that hasn't been held at the right temperature, people thought that stew was boiling. Well, no, it wasn't boiling. It was these bacteria growing in there and producing gas and bubbling it.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
well, it's interesting to know. It kind of keeps you in check when you're in your kitchen. Like, I try not to put my hands into the food because I always think, gosh, there's got to be bacteria on my hand. Even though I just wash my hands, we all know that things get dirty so fast. And I've even experimented where I've had a bag of cheese in the fridge, and sometimes I shake the cheese out, you know, from the bag. And other times I put my hand into the cheese.
Yeah.
And the one I put my hand into always goes bad faster. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does make sense.
Okay.
Because when you open the bags or when you open a container of any kind, they're put in those containers to preserve them. And as long as that container is intact, like a can, for instance, it'll be fine. The minute you expose it to the air, you're now exposing it to bacteria that are in the air and on your hands and in the refrigerator.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh. This is such a layered episode. I love this. Okay.
So no, it is layered, Nikki. It is.
Does that stuff, look how scientific I am. Does that stuff grow in the fridge?
Some can. Well, first of all, let's tell you that there's two different types of microorganisms that we're worried about. There's those that make you sick, the pathogens. And by and large, they don't grow in refrigeration temperatures, which is why you want to put it in there. However, there is one particular pathogen called Listeria monocytogenes that does. And okay. So if you have a long shelf date, long enough, they will actually grow in the product in the refrigerator to the point where it can cause illness. And by illness, we're talking about 30% mortality.
Oh my gosh.
Especially with people who are immunocompromised or older people or younger babies. And so you don't want to keep something in the refrigerator for a long, long time if it's certain mm-hmm. types of foods. The other type of bacteria are the spoilage organisms. These are the ones that turn your Brussels sprouts into the green glop.
Yes.
And they create the smells and the slimy right. texture and all that.
Yes.
But the good news is that stuff doesn't make you sick. It's a great warning that something has gone wrong and you shouldn't eat that food. But by and large, your senses, smell, sight, taste, are not good indicators of whether something is safe.
No way, really?
Oh my God, I was always told to trust in your body, trust in what you're sensing and feeling.
Well, that's true because people just, you know, by instinct, when they smell something bad, they're not going to eat it. But there are some foods that people have debates about. You know, is it spoiled or is it improved? An example I will use is kimchi. Some people think kimchi is rotten cabbage and they won't have it even in the house. I think it's great and I think it's an improvement of the vegetables.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
I need to know that it's real, know that it's real. So tell the truth.
Okay, so let's get back to the labels. So if these dates aren't actually regulated, then why do we even have sell by or use by or best by dates to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is the companies wanting you to come back and repeat buy. And so the way that you're going to do that is when it's the best quality. So they'll put them on there, and that date is really has nothing to do generally with safety. It's they have done experiments in their plant where they know if after about so many days, either it's just not going to be the same quality, and they don't really want you eating that. First of all, they want you to buy more, but they also want you to really like the product. And so they're going to put their best foot forward in terms of quality, and those use by Best Buy dates are one way they can do that. The other term, sell-by date. And that really is the manufacturer telling the retailer, hey, get this stuff moved out by then, because after that, it's going to start getting some sensory changes. So what I tell people is they'll buy a gallon of milk and the sell-by date is passed. And why do I need to throw this away? No, if you haven't opened it, the odds are it's going to be fine for another week.
Oh,
okay.
So it's a marketing thing.
Yep.
It's about money.
What?
Isn't
yes.
it always?
Right? Yep. They're just trying to keep selling their product?
That's what they're in business for, yes.
Part of me gets it because if you're going to try something for the first time, they want you to try it at its peak quality, right?
Right.
But I also understand the fear tactics of like, you better eat this by this date because if you don't, you have to throw it away and then come right back and buy another one of ours. I get that.
Well, yes. And the whole point about the peak quality is one that's often discussed. And those sell-by dates are not the peak quality. And with most foods, the peak quality are the day it's produced. From that point on, it goes slowly downhill.
Downhill.
Now, there's a few where actually things improve. And you brought up cheese. Now, that's another great example where it wouldn't even be practical to put a sell-by date on because if you're a real cheeseaholic like I am, mm-hmm. come from Wisconsin, You know, I don't eat cheddar cheese under a year old. It's just, there's nothing to it. I wait and buy it when it's 6 or 7 years old.
Wow.
So you couldn't really put a sell-by date on, but
right?
Those, some things get improved with age.
Okay.
Like blue cheese.
Yeah.
Isn't blue cheese like moldy cheese?
It is moldy cheese. Blue cheese, brie cheese, camembert, Stilton. These are all cheeses that have mold as part of their, part of the flavor profile of that. Now, I will tell you that just general fuzzy white cheese that isn't supposed to be is probably not a good thing to eat because some molds do produce what are known as mycotoxins.
I was going to ask. Okay. Yeah.
Acutely toxic and sometimes carcinogenic.
So when you see that fuzzy sort of like, it almost looks, it looks like a little bit of a beard, right? That is not a good sign. Can you cut that part of the cheese off and eat the other parts?
Good question.
You can, but the filaments of that mold go down into the cheese. So you'd probably have to cut maybe a quarter or a half an inch away from the surface.
Away from it. Okay.
So you're wasting a lot anyway.
Right. Okay. Malone, don't you kind of want to know the difference between all of these dates? So there's best by date, sell by date, use by, and expires on. Can you kind of break these down for us, Bob, so we can understand it?
Sure. Well, the ones where it's asking you to do a call to action, use by, best for quality by, those are generally all determined for quality and have little or nothing to do with safety unless it has been, the package has been compromised in some way or something like that. The difference is, as you will sometimes see, although the industry has been reluctant to use this term, for food safety, use by, or for food safety, keep refrigerated, or refrigerated after opening, those are safety issues. If it's just a matter of best by or enjoy by, that's just quality and you can go beyond the use-by date. It's just understanding you're not getting the best quality anymore.
Okay, that's good to know. So there's a difference between sell-by, best-by, used-by, and then the word expired, right? So those are two different brackets.
Expired is in a several, in some foods, actually not many are expired, but if they make claims for vitamins or minerals, you may have healthy foods or something like that, they may add expires by, but in this particular case, that's because the nutrients that they're promoting in there have degraded to the point where they're not giving you the nutrient profile that the label says.
Oh, okay.
So it's more like a drug or a pharmaceutical.
Oh, that makes sense.
So are there foods that you should pay more attention to than others? Maybe like, I don't know, there's something about dairy that freaks me out. And I know Malone was concerned about butter. So are there foods
and
that
chicken.
Are... Yeah. So Bob, what about other... What are the foods we should really be paying attention to?
You should be paying attention to those foods that have been implicated in recalls or foodborne outbreaks. And by and large, this is going to be raw meats, poultry, and fish, so or undercooked. So those you want to make sure you keep them refrigerated. Or if they're cooked, you keep them hot until you eat it. And then the other things that you should also be aware of are anything that's called ready to eat. That is any food that you don't cook before you eat it. So this includes, unfortunately, things like fresh produce.
Right.
So they have inherently more risk simply because they're grown out in the agriculture environment. They don't get processed. So again, you want to make sure that you know what the source of these are, that perhaps you use them quickly before anything can grow on them.
Oh.
And understand that there are certain people that maybe just shouldn't eat those at all.
Okay.
So you're saying produce like apples and stuff that sit in the store?
Any kind of produce that you're going to eat without cooking are going to take special handling in terms of keeping clean, making sure they're segregated in your refrigerator. In our dirty refrigerators, you don't want those your bag of lettuce sitting right next to your raw chicken.
Okay.
Because you're
that's a good
chance for cross-contamination.
Wow.
There's oh my gosh.
Now I'm like, my heart's racing. I'm like, well, I got to go to my fridge and check this shit out.
Cross contamination.
What about milk and cream and anything pasteurized? What about that?
They will spoil if you don't drink them by their expiration date or much beyond. But when it spoils, you know, it's going to turn into cottage cheese in that jug. Now, maybe you've seen that before too. It's pretty nasty. but it's not going to make you sick except mentally. I mean, the fact that this has got a big yuck factor.
Yeah.
Anything that's pasteurized and has not been opened is going to be not much of a problem, food safety. That said, once you have opened it again and exposed it to the elements, then you need to hurry up and consume that product.
Okay, oh. So let me talk me through this, because I have a tub of sour cream that I forgot in the back. It has not been opened. The seal has not been broken, but it says best if used by, and the date was like 4 days ago, but I haven't opened it. So is that safe for me to use? And how long then can I use that?
Oh, absolutely. And sour cream and yogurt and these fermented dairy products are safer in general too, because of how they're made, which is that lactic acid bacteria grow in them, produce acid, which makes it more acidic, which keeps all the other bacteria from growing. So what will happen is it will just continue to get more sour. Oh. Now, at some point, that doesn't taste great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's in fact, people have seen this with yogurt, for instance. They'll leave it sitting in the refrigerator and it'd be weeks beyond the sell-by date. And they'll try eating it and they'll say, oh man, it is so sour, I cannot eat this anymore.
Right.
Well, it's past its peak.
Right. Okay.
Sour cream seems a little more risky, though. You know what I mean? I never get sour cream if I order something from a restaurant. I just stay clear of that. I don't know why I'm conditioned to think that that can make you sick.
Yeah, and there's nothing unusually harmful about cream cheese or sour cream. Again, you've got enough acidity in there that it will control the foodborne pathogens, but sometimes people have an aversion to that just because of the mouthfeel, the way it feels in your mouth. It just feels like it's got to be yucky.
Okay, what about butter? Okay, Malone, I know you had the question about butter.
Do you leave it out or do you keep it in the refrigerator? Because I like a soft butter on my toast.
Right. So there's nothing keeping you from having the butter out. I'll say that. By and large, you're going to have melting. You like it meltable. So do I.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for quality's sake, you really do want to keep it refrigerated and in the dark if you can. And the reason we do that is in the dark, yes, because the ultraviolet lights from the sun or the lights, as well as the oxygen, will cause rancidity in the butter and affect its flavor. Now, for some people, it didn't matter. I grew up in Wisconsin. I was used to eating rancid butter my whole life and never knew it until I went to college and they told me what good butter was supposed to taste like.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. I think I know what rancid means, but does rancidity taste like?
Have you ever had goat cheese?
Rancidity.
Have you ever had goat cheese? Yeah.
That's rancid. That's an intentional rancidity, though. It has a goaty flavor. Lord.
Okay.
And there are other cheeses where enzymes are added specifically to cause the fats in them to have a rancid profile. And so in those particular cases, that's what people like.
Wait, so Bob, so you're saying, okay. It's the butter is better off in the refrigerator, in the dark in the refrigerator, because the light always goes off in the refrigerator. But if I wanted to leave my butter out, would it be okay to cover it with not a glass where the light can get in, but like something solid? Can I do that?
That would help. Take a bowl upside down and put it on it. Or maybe the better idea is don't put the whole stick of butter out there. Just take what you think you're going to use.
That's a good idea.
Good tip. Thank you, Bob.
So I've just had a dinner party, Bob. Right? I invite a bunch of people over. The food is out. We've all enjoyed it. But I don't really have the energy to put it all back in the fridge just yet because I'm enjoying my wine and my brownies, right? Mm-hmm. How long can the food stay on the table after I serve it?
Good question.
The magic number is 2 hours.
Oh.
You can keep it out in 2 hours, but after that, you need to put it away. Either refrigerate or heat.
Okay, I think every Thanksgiving, I've probably poisoned people then, because I can't imagine getting it back in by 2 hours.
Well, what about the town council picnic?
same thing.
Is it shorter, though, time for outside?
It depends on the temperature. So if it's 60 degrees outside, you got more time. If it's 90 or 95, you don't have much time.
Yes, understood.
Okay, Bob, what about when you go into the grocery store and they have these like pre-made salads that kind of look fake, right?
Yes.
They don't ever look real. And they've been sitting and they're in a chill. I think it's kind of chilled, but it's not refrigerated. What about that?
Yeah.
I don't like those things. I want it completely refrigerated. I've seen this in the summer too, where they'll have melons sitting out and they've got, like half a cantaloupe sitting on ice. Well, that's fine for the rind that's sitting on the ice, but the flesh that's out in the air gets warm and organisms will grow in there.
Oh, God. So my fear of eating like at the picnic that your aunts and grandmas are having is valid.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
God, Bob. Well,
Bob. I'm sorry. Absolutely. Wait, Bob. So what about if I go into like a hamburger stand and they're not wearing gloves and they're working with the meat? You know how they can like form the hamburger meat to, you know, to right. make hamburger patty? Like, should I run if they're not wearing gloves? I'm pretty picky about that.
I would avoid eating there. And another tip is whenever you go into a restaurant, check out their sanitation score.
Oh, yeah.
Which must be posted. Yeah. If they're down in the lower numbers, I mean, below 95%, if it's at 95 or there's some usually other, some of the measurement, if they're not at the top, you know, understand that you're taking risks. But sometimes there are some restaurants that are especially hole in the wall. They're just so good that you're willing to take the risk.
Okay. Right. But,
oh, that has a D, but it's so good.
Right? You're like, well, makes me feel like an A. Not really.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
I need to know that it's real. Know that it's real. So tell the truth.
Okay, I have one for you. How long can groceries stay in your trunk?
2 hours again, and especially with the temperature. Okay. So, yeah, and you can extend that if you do some smart shopping, like go do all your unrefrigerated stuff, whether it's stopping at the dry cleaner or whatever else. Do that first. And when you go to the grocery store, pick the perishables last, the poultry, the meat, the, you know, produce.
That makes sense.
Okay. These are good. No, this is all good to know. Wow. I'm going to make some changes already in my life. I can tell you right now. Are there any exceptions, Bob, like to all these rules that we're saying?
Yes, there's always exceptions. One of the things, and as I'd mentioned, there's a move to actually create a law that would standardize these use by dates because people do become confused. One of the reasons why the food industry hasn't done this, and they've been in favor of it for a while, but is they can't agree on their particular food, you know, their commodity. One size does not fit all when it comes to foods because each one is so different that there are exceptions for that. And I mentioned before about the, you know, the cheddar cheese that's highly ripened. Right. That's an exception. You wouldn't want somebody putting a use-by date on something that you want to be older.
Right.
So there's that. And also how it's going to be used. And the example I'll use there is frozen peas.
Okay.
And now the manufacturer expects you to go home and take those frozen peas and put them in a pot or something to cook them.
Okay.
And then eat them next to mashed potatoes or whatever. What they don't normally expect you to do is take it home, rip it open, and put it into a bean salad as frozen items, having never been cooked.
Got it.
So, and there's other cases where you have that same sort of thing. And the one that I'm sure you've never used, I'm sure you've never done this, but eating raw cookie dough.
No, that's so good you brought that up, Bob. I need to know about that because I love raw cookie dough ice cream, but I feel like I've gotten sick from that before.
Can I tell you something, Bob? At my high school, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school in St. Louis. Let me just set the scene for you. One of the desserts that they would sell was raw cookie dough for $1, and we would buy it and consume it every day of our lives for 4 years.
Delicious.
So please break it down for me. I'm
break
scared.
Break it down, Bob.
So if you're buying cookie dough ice cream, you're good because the cookie dough that they put in that ice cream is pasteurized.
Great.
Good.
But I love that. Okay.
The other stuff that you get out of the refrigerated case, well, now these days, even that's becoming pasteurized too because of some past outbreaks that have occurred from raw cookie dough.
Okay.
So where you really need to be more careful is if it's homemade, where you're not pasteurizing the flour or you're not pasteurizing the eggs. So that's an example.
So how did I survive high school is what we're saying here, Bob. How did that happen?
Well, you are just stronger for it, I guess. Survival of the fittest.
Right? So can we talk about eggs? Because I have eggs in my fridge that are... Why are you laughing at me?
I don't know why that's just so funny. And hard-boiled eggs. How long do they last?
Oh, yeah. So let's get cracking. Because I want to know.
Can we talk about eggs?
Can we talk about eggs, Bob?
We can talk about eggs.
There's eggs in my carton that are currently... And I buy, like, I'm kind of an egg snob. So I buy the expensive ones. So they're like $6, $7 a carton. And then they go to the expiration date, and I'm like, oh, my God, I don't think I can do this. So I, like, end up throwing two or three away. Can I still eat those even though it says, you know, best used by or, you know?
Right. Once again, this is the manufacturer trying to get you repeat business. Yes, you can eat them past the expiration date. But
how long?
There's a but. Well, yeah. It depends. You can go on for a long time till they liquefy, actually. But there's a component known as... when you're talking about formulation of foods, the behavior of the foods are functionality. So what you may or may not have ever noticed is if you have really fresh eggs, the white stands up, the yolk stands up, whereas if you take one that's a little bit older, several weeks old, it sort of spreads out in the pan.
Yes.
It doesn't stand up. So that is a change in quality that has to do with how old it is. So if you are going to be baking or making a meringue or something like that, you don't want to use the old eggs. You want to use the nice fresh ones where the proteins are still together and you can whip them up. But in terms of eating and safety, they're fine.
Interesting.
The one thing having to do with safety of eggs, though, too, is that people wondering about raw eggs.
Yeah.
And raw eggs have been a source of salmonella for a long, long time. And in fact, it's special with one particular type of salmonella that actually ends up inside the egg, not on the shell outside, but inside the egg while it's being developed. And this is called Salmonella enteritidis. And this was responsible for over 100,000 cases a year of salmonellosis. So it was a big deal. And
from
it came to the point
the
where...
egg.
Inside the egg, yes.
The salmonella is coming from inside the egg.
Yes. Nikki, remember we used to put raw eggs in smoothies? Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I did for a minute.
Me too.
We all did.
Okay. But going back to the salmonella, how do you know if your egg has that growing inside of it? Is there a sign?
Ooh, yeah.
It takes a very complicated analytical procedure to detect them if they're there. So no, there's no way that you're going to know.
Nikki, you're not going to eat a raw egg though, are you?
No. No. But then I think about when my egg's over easy, isn't that kind of half raw, Bob?
Right, right.
It is. If you can get it so that the white is congealed, you know, fairly solidly, that's generally enough to kill the salmonella. And again, it's not as safe as something that's scrambled or hard cooked or something like that, but it's much safer than raw.
But it's also good to know that, like, you don't have to throw everything out just because it says best by date. You can, there's some leeway. And I want to encourage people to just trust their guts, oddly enough, to trust their gut, but also to not feel like, oh gosh, I have to throw this away because it says I have to and go buy a new one. It's kind of a dance that you have to do, I think, right, Bob? Like kind of trying to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to do a little bit of research and get online and see what the recommendations by the trade associations, oddly enough, that can give you for that product. So in this particular case, too, when you have a product, well, part of the reason why, in addition to making it easier on yourself to figure out these sell-by dates, it's estimated that anywhere from 20 to 40% of the food in this world is lost and wasted. So what we want to do is be able to extend that as, you know, our food, as especially with the prices going up the way they are, that you want to make best use of them that you can. So what you can do is buy them perhaps in smaller quantities, although that's more expensive, and use them up before they have a chance to diminish in quality. And the second thing is, you know, think about what you're throwing away and why you're throwing it away. Is it really something that you have put at risk, or is it just because it's gone past the use-by date? And again, in almost every single case, use-by will always just be about quality.
Okay, here's another question that I think a lot of people want to know. Like, what about refrigerate after opening? That one, right? I don't always have room in my fridge for, like, the margarita mix or the Coke Zero bottles. Or just can I leave that stuff out?
If the instructions say refrigerator after opening, refrigerate after opening. Because again, if it's in the sealed container, it's been processed, it's protected from any kind of harmful bacteria. Once you open that up, you don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
So do you feel like it's still a good, like, well, you said this earlier, not so much, but the nose test, right? If it's ripe, I toss it. If it smells off, I toss it. Is that how your lab works? I'm assuming it's really scientific like that.
Actually, there are instruments that we call artificial noses, and they have the ability to pick up and sense chemicals that are being emitted from foods as they're ripening or as they're spoiling, and they end up with a profile that suggests whether it could be, you know, becoming too old for sale or whether it's going to be offensive to a consumer. And the industry will use these artificial noses to help as a quality control step and indicator, during, especially during their research.
That's interesting. That sounds like a great idea. Like, I would like to own one of those.
I mean, think about it. If you could have in your kitchen something that would help you detect how fresh or how good your food is, or if there's some undetected bacteria that you can't see mm-hmm. or smell, but this mm-hmm. device could, that would be a game changer.
Nikki, and it would be shaped. It'd look, there's the nose, and you put your fruit or whatever underneath right? the nose. It'd be so good. It's a great idea.
You know, it's coming.
Did you say it's coming?
Yes.
Is it really?
I would say within a few years, you will have indicators of, it could be anything from stickers that are on packages that actually absorb these components, or it could be a device, you know, small device. The thing that I'm looking for, I was a Star Trek fan for many years.
Well, you're a Trekkie.
I am a Trekkie. And so what I'm looking for is the tricorder that you can just point at the food and it will tell you whether it's spoiled or whether there's pathogens, and that's coming.
That is so cool. You heard it here first, everyone.
Yeah.
Just FYI. So here's an important question, Bob. I throw so many leftovers away. How long are leftovers okay in the fridge?
You'll get different answers to that. I'll tell you what my guideline is that if you have something like cold cuts or deli meats mm-hmm. or something like that, once I open them up, assuming they're opening, I try to use them within 3 to 5 days.
Right. Okay.
And with leftovers, 2 to 3 days, maybe only two.
Depends on the product. 2 to 3 days. So if I made like a black bean sweet potato casserole the other day, well, not the other day, it was 3 days ago. So you're saying I shouldn't be eating that right now.
You probably can another day. But sometimes if you look at the product, here's where your sense can help. You take your eyes and you look at it, and if that casserole looks like it's sort of watery in the bottom and it just doesn't stand up the way, good indication that it's past its prime.
Oh, gosh. Okay. This is helpful. This is so helpful.
And chicken. So I can keep chicken that I ordered from somewhere in my refrigerator for like 3 days, right? And that's the most I can. After 3 days, I should just throw it out.
Cooked or raw?
Cooked.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, and a frozen chicken. Can I? Because some people just throw their chicken in the freezer and keep it there for years.
You can do that, and it's going to remain as safe as it was when you put it in there. But again, your quality is going to diminish. You're going to end up having ice crystals in it and freezer burn. And again, even if something's frozen, like say sausages, and you put sausages in your refrigerator, brats or something like that, in the freezer, and leave them in there for months, when you take them out of there, they're not going to taste as good as they did when they went in.
Okay, yeah. Right. So, Bob, let's talk about meat. When my mom cooks steak, right, she takes it out of the fridge, she lets it kind of sit for a minute, and I notice sometimes that it's not quite pink anymore. It's got a little gray tone to it. What's that about?
Well, that's an interesting. Actually, there's not a safety issue. If that meat has been refrigerated properly, it will be fine. But what that is you're noticing changes in pigments of the meat, actually. And that's caused by reactions with the oxygen in the air, and it will cause the pink to become darker, gray, or brown. And if you would take that steak and then cut it in half, you would notice that the inside of that steak is still pink because it hasn't been exposed to the air.
Okay.
That's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. It's normal.
Okay.
So what about chicken?
It's safe as long as it's been refrigerated. That said, if it's starting to get slimy or if it does have an odor, that could affect the quality. If you can get it before it's too bad, putting it on the grill, especially if you marinate it or do some other things to cover any, flavor loss, it'll be safe.
Okay. What's the sliminess indicate? Because I notice that chicken has that sometimes, my carrots sometimes.
Ew.
Like those bagged carrots get a little slimy.
Yeah, they do get that slimy film on them.
What does that mean?
Do you really want to know?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Bob, I'm frightened, but yes.
It's actually growth of bacteria. Or it could be the fact with the produce, the spoilage bacteria actually produce enzyme that breaks down the tissues in the produce, and it becomes slimy.
So what do I do with the slime? Do I wipe it off or do I throw the bag away?
I throw them away, yes.
Oh, gosh. I give my dog carrots. He eats the slimy one.
Oh, Steve. Steve is his dog's name, by the way, Bob. Okay, so what's so interesting is that I feel like what I learned today was that the sell by or best buy are just suggestions, right? Like, just a suggestion of, you should enjoy this before this date because that's when the quality is at its peak.
Yeah.
But I'm learning that, like, I can use my eggs 2 weeks after the date that's on the box. And that, to me, is going to save me a lot of money. And hearing it from you, Bob, makes me go, I can just be like, hey, Bob said that I could use these eggs, right, and scramble them up with some, you know, cheese and red peppers, and I'm good to go. So I feel like I learned a lot about what it means. And I also feel like I gave myself permission to not be so strict with throwing things away. And I think it's going to help me with food waste. So
that's good.
That's pretty cool.
Nikki. Yeah. There's also an intuitive thing. You know, it's kind of common sense. If you feel something's bad, don't eat it. Right?
That's exactly right. If in doubt, throw it out.
Right. Okay, Bob. So to wrap up this big question, are the dates on food a bunch of BS?
I would say no. They can be very good tool for the consumer to have the best quality product.
And by best quality, what do you mean?
Yeah, it's about quality.
Yeah.
It's about quality.
It's about quality.
Right. And it may be safety too, but there are fewer labels that specifically deal with safety, with the exception on the cooking instructions on ground beef or ham or chicken that you see on there, the USDA instructions. But the use-by dates are really just another type of information that consumers should use to have their money go the furthest in terms of their food dollar.
So, Bob, I have to say thank you so, so much for being on today's show. It was such a treat. I don't know why I'm hungry now, but all of a sudden I am.
I know, me too, Nikki. I'm really hungry.
So if we all lived in the same place, I would say let's go to lunch, right? But, Bob, thank you so much because I actually feel a little bit better about keeping my food a little longer than I thought I could. So thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, thank you for having me. It has been great fun.
So, Malone, you are still on the right side of your Best Buy date, and for that, I'm thankful.
You know, I'm yes, I am. I'm grateful, and one bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch, girl.
I love that. Oh, and I learned that you should just cut, if you're going to cut the cheese.
Oh, my God, Nikki.
You do it like an inch and a half away from the mold, and you're all good. Oh, I love this. Malone, it's always fun with you. I feel like we learned a lot today, and oddly enough, I really do want to go eat. So let's go have lunch.
Let's go.
Okay, bye.
Bye, love you.
So to answer our question, are sell-by and use-by dates kind of BS when it comes to getting rid of your food? Well, the answer is no, but for quality reasons, not necessarily for safety reasons. So don't throw out that milk just yet. But remember, the longer that food has been left out, the quicker it spoils. And for me, I'm still going to stick to the best method that I have to determine my food safety, which is my nose. All right, I'm Nikki Boyer, and this is Call Me Curious. Okay, that's our show for today. Hey, tell us what questions are on your mind. Send us a voice memo, or you can email us at callmecurious@wondery.com. Or you can even hit me up on Instagram at Nikki Boyer. I would love to hear from you and get to the bottom of all your questions. Because I don't know stuff too. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Call Me Curious ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey. From Wondery, I'm your host, Nikki Boyer. Our theme song is Tell the Truth by Yana. Thanks to Mr. Malone for joining me on today's show. And thank you to our guest, Robert Brackett. New episodes drop every Thursday. Rich Goodman is our senior producer. Polly Stryker and Gary Luzzi, producers. Our editor is Steve Mazur. Our associate producer is Jeha Joshua Chang. Scott Velasquez, music supervisor for Frieson Sync. Dax Jordan is our person on the street. Sam Ada and Danny Bringer are our engineers. And Tina Rubio and Marshall Louie are the executive producers for Wondery. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, I'll see you next week. And remember, stay curious.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.